We're in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3 this morning, if you want to look there with me. If you want to look at, we're going to look at the first 11 verses. We're going to read the first 11 verses in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3. Amen. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. Time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing, time to get, a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he hath set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. We'll stop reading right there. Of course, this is Solomon talking, just kind of little reminder as to what this book of Ecclesiastes is all about. If you remember, there were three books in the Bible written by Solomon at different seasons of his life. At the beginning, in his young time as king, when he had asked the Lord to give him wisdom above everything else, and the Lord granted his wish and gave him discernment and knowledge and wisdom, the ability to lead the kingdom, and he was a young man. And so he wrote the book of Proverbs during that season of his life. And then he wrote in the mid part of his life the Song of Solomon, and then in the latter years of his life he wrote the book of Ecclesiastes. And it's a book written at the end of his life that reveals the fact that Solomon had, he had forsaken the Lord. He'd forsaken the things of God and all the wonderful ways that God had blessed him. He had forsaken the Lord. It's a book that reminds us that a life without God is empty. A life without God is just nothing. It has no purpose. It has no sense of value at all. It's meaningless. And that's why he says 28 times, vanity is vanity. All is vanity. It just means emptiness. There's just nothing of value to a life without God. Amen. And then he also uses that phrase several times, vexation of spirit. And it just means to be grasping at the wind, trying to get a hold of something that just is elusive and you can't get a hold of it. Vanity of vanities and vexation of spirit. In chapter 3, Solomon is starting to reveal that in the latter years of his life, he started to see the error of his ways. He started to realize and what he knew before, but because of his choices and going away from God and following after the things of the flesh and the things of the world, that he had forsaken all these important and valuable truths and principles. He'd walked away from them. He's starting to see the error of his ways, because in this chapter, he kind of distinguishes between that which is temporal and that which is eternal. That which is temporal, that which is eternal. Everything that is temporal is passing away. It's all going to pass away. Everything that is eternal is going to last forever. And there's not very much in this world that is eternal. Not very much at all. People, the souls of men, your soul, my soul, and the souls of all mankind are going to, those souls are going to live for eternity. So those souls of men are eternal. And the only thing, other thing in this life that I know of that's eternal, and that's God's word. It's eternal. We know that it's forever settled in heaven, and it's never going to pass away. One of these days, we're going to be judged by it. We're going to stand before God, and we're going to be judged on the basis of how we responded and how we lived in comparison to what God's word declares. Amen. So Solomon begins to wake up and realize there are things that are passing away and things that are eternal. And maybe we should ask ourselves the question today, how much of our life, how much of our time, how much of our money, how much of our expending of time and energy is toward the eternal, and how much of it is toward the passing away, the temporal, that's going to pass away. Amen. You know, you can go out and buy a new suit of clothes, and it's wonderful. If you got a new set of clothes, it won't take too many years, and they won't be new anymore. They'll start wearing out. And I tend to get attached to some of my clothes. And Marcia, she will get into my closet, and she'll see some things that are threadbare that I'm still wearing, and she will take them to Goodwill, of all things. And I'm getting in my closet. Where is that suit? It's gone, because it was wore out. It was wore out. It was passing away. It was over with. And I was trying to hold on to it. She just decided, no, it's got to go. It's got to go, because there are things in the, you can go out and buy a new car. I wouldn't recommend it, but if you do, buy a newer car. And it's so nice, and it's a nice thing to have a newer car, but you know what's going to happen. It won't be that many years until it is worn out. And it'll have so many miles on it, your beautiful car will become a rattle trap in just a few years. All that you poured into it, all the money that you spent on it, and they say if you drive a new car off of the out of the car lot, that it's immediately starts to depreciate and loses value, and it doesn't take that many years until it is no longer new, but it's old and it's worn out. Solomon is making the comparison in this chapter to the things that are temporal. Everything of this world, everything of this life is all temporary. It is all passing away. And we need to be living our life with the understanding that it's only the things that are eternal that really matter. Amen. Those are the things that really matter. And that our lives are in His hands. And we need to make sure that we put ourselves right in His hands so He can direct our steps and He can use us. Because we have a certain span of time that we're here in this world. Amen. You know, every generation, I don't know how long a generation is, maybe 40 years, something like that. It's interesting that each succeeding generation, it almost seems like that we repeat a lot of the things from the previous generation. I remember from the 60s and 70s, some of the clothes that people wore in those days were just downright ugly. The styles were awful. And those big plaid pants that men would wear with those bell bottoms, they're so ugly, so ugly. But they were, and then I've noticed that some of that stuff has come back in recent years. And some people are making the foolish decision to wear them. Some of those things. Seasons come and seasons go. Solomon is talking about that in this chapter. He's talking about the fact
that all of our times and all of our seasons, they're in His hands, and that God is really the one that's in control of what's going on. And the emptiness of pursuing the things that are of this world. You know, back in the 60s, 70s, there was all this movement. I guess you could call them the hippie movement. It was free love, drugs, trying everything out, no restraint, all pursuing after the things of pleasure and good times, and that seemed to be a society. Do you know that coming out of that movement of people trying and pursuing the things of this world came a movement called the Jesus Movement? And in that Jesus movement, while sometimes there might have been a little bit of a doctrinal problems and some of the things that they came out with, but by and large, that was a generation that tried all of these things and they didn't want any restraints put on them. And they opposed law enforcement and they did all these things, opposing everything of this world. And they came to the end of that and saw that it was like Solomon said, it's all empty. It's all empty. I've tried all of these things. I've tried the drugs. I've tried everything. And it's just an emptiness in my heart. And they begin to search. And some of them, actually by the thousands of people, especially on the West Coast, there was a movement of people who came to Jesus and got saved. And some of them really did get truly born again and were saved. But the reality was all those people, all those, for the most part, young people, they came to the end of the emptiness of the things of this life that are temporary, and they realized that, and they turned to Jesus. And many of them called upon the Lord and began to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be wonderful during a time like we're in right now, when there's all this stuff that's going on in our world and our culture and our society, where there's so many, and even of a younger generation that's saying, we don't want any restraint. We don't want any law enforcement. We want to do our own thing. We don't want any rules. We're just trying. They're searching for something. Wouldn't it be wonderful that at this time and season that we're in right now, that would pour out of this experience of this rebellion and darkness, that they would come to the end of themselves and that we would have a revival, a wonderful outpouring of the Spirit in these last days? Wouldn't that be a wonderful thing if revival was the result of everyone's searching and longing for something that this world has to offer? Well, all that's going on around us in our world today, Solomon reminds us, God is in control of all the times and seasons. That's right. Even right now, when it seems like everything is crazy and out of control in our world, it's not. God is in control, and God's purpose will be fulfilled. What God says will be accomplished. And even in the midst of all the things that are happening right now in our world, God is in charge of it all. Daniel chapter 2, in verse 20, Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. He changeth the times and the seasons. He removes kings and setteth up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding." You see, Daniel was just saying that even when it seems like things are completely out of control, be reminded as the people of God that your life and our times and our seasons are in His hands. He is in control. Amen. It's not spinning out of control. God knows what He's doing. He knows how to work. He knows how to speak. And He can pour His Spirit out and send revival into a hungry, thirsty nation of people that need God so desperately. Like America right now. He can pour His Spirit out and send a revival. God's timing is wonderful. It's perfect. It's sovereign. You can trust God. You can trust Him to do all things well. We put too much trust, folks, in the and our leaders. Too much trust and confidence in man. We need to put our trust in the Lord and understand He's the one that's really in control in these days that we're living in right now. He knows what's going on, and He does all things well. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So we need to trust Him and believe that God is at work. The psalmist says in Psalm 90, verse 12, teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days, to understand that we have a certain span of years that we live. Solomon's talking about it here in this chapter. He's talking about, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Amen. It may not seem like it's wonderful, or may not seem like it's beautiful, but God is in control, and you can rest in confidence today that God is at work in these times. The psalmist says, teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You've probably heard people talk about, there's a little poem, and I didn't bring the poem with me to the pulpit, but there's a little poem that's called The Dash Between the Dates. You have two dates, the date you were born and the date that you die, and that's on your tombstone, and then there's a dash in the middle. That dash represents your life, how you lived your life, and your life is fleeting. It goes by so quickly. And you need to understand that all of us have an appointment with that date of death. And even the day you were born and the day that you die is all in the hands of the Lord. There's no escaping it. We all have an appointment with death. No escaping it unless the rapture takes place. I can remember us trying to explain to Zach when he was real little that we're all going to die. But then if the Lord comes, we'll go in the rapture. So he got that in his mind, and he would come to us from time to time and say, he didn't get rapture. He never gets his words exactly right. And so he just got the word rap. He said, anybody say anything about anybody dying, he'd say, Mom, Dad, I don't want us to die. I don't want any of us to die. I want us all to go in the rap. Amen. Amen. But we've all got an appointment with death, don't we? Unless the rapture of the church catches us out of this place. And that could happen. But if it doesn't happen, then God has an appointed day for your death. Just as much as He did for the day that you died. Acts 1 and 7, He said unto them, to His disciples, Jesus spoke to His disciples and said, it's not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in His own power. Now, I know that He was talking about His coming and His soon return back to the earth. But the message is very, very much applies to what we're talking about today. And that is that we don't know the times and the seasons. All we know is today. All we know is right now and what God has given to us. So He determines our birth, He determines our death, and then the dash part, He sustains us in between. He's the one that takes care of us in between. Our lives are in His hands. Amen. Now, I was born in 1955, and that's a long time ago. I like to look at those, those little things, those little cards that say, this is what was going on the year you were born. And in 1955, I was born in September, and the gasoline was per gallon 23 cents a gallon. Don't that sound wonderful? Milk was 92 cents a gallon. A postage stamp was 3 cents. Eisenhower was the president. He had a heart attack, spent 3 weeks in the hospital in the year 1955. There was a safe vaccine for polio that was released. A guy by the name of Jonas Salk invented it.
1955, a long time ago, that was the year I was born. Now, obviously, I don't remember what was going on. I wasn't aware of all that was going on around me. But God was the one who said, this is the day you're going to be born. Same with you. Your date of birth and your date of death. All of that was a part of God's purpose and God's plan. But the important thing is that we understand how important it is what happens between the date of our birth and the date of our death. What takes place during those years that we come to know the Lord, that we come to understand that God has a plan for our life and that we need to put our lives in His hands and trust ourselves into His hands for what He wants to do. He's made everything beautiful in His time. That doesn't mean that everything is beautiful. It just simply means that in every season of our life, we need to take advantage of that season that He gives to us. Amen. When you're young, you have the tendency to look to the future and say, oh, I wish I was 16 so I could get my driver's license. Oh, I wish I was 18 so I could graduate from high school. Oh, I wish, and you wish your life away. Oh, I wish I can't wait until one day I can be married. I can't wait till one day I have children. I can't wait until this happens or that happens. And instead of living in the moment, you're thinking about the future. For those of you that are young, really young, let me just say, live for the moment you're in right now. Live for the life that God's given to you to live right now. And understand that He has a purpose for your life, and He wants to bless you and use you in this season. Solomon made so many mistakes, and he was really looking back with regret. You know, sometimes if you're young, you want to look to the future. If you're older, you look to the past. You talk about the good old days. Oh, it was so wonderful back in this day. Oh, it was so great when this happened or that happened or when these activities were going on. And you look to your past. And what a mistake it is, young people, to just always be looking to your future. I mean, certainly you should make plans for your future, but that shouldn't be the thing that consumes your life. Live for this day. Live for what day that God has given to you. And those of us that are older, we don't need to live in the past. We too need to live for this day. Amen. Praise God. That's what Solomon is saying. He's saying here, he's made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world in their hearts. Verse 12, I know there is no good thing in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all of his labor. It is the gift of God. Recognize that the season that you are in right now, whether you be a young person, a middle-aged person, an older person, understand that the life that you are given right now is a gift from God. Amen. And put your life into the hands of the Lord and trust Him with your life and with your future. Praise God. Hallelujah. So it's not wrong to live this life and understand the beauty of it and the great blessing and gift of life that we have been given. Thank the Lord for that. Should we plan for the future and for eternity? Well, it says there in verse 11, also He has set the world in their heart. And the word there for world, it actually is a word that means eternity. He has set eternity in your heart. That just means for all of us, that, yeah, we live our life and realize it's a gift from God, but also placed in our heart is the understanding that we're headed toward eternity. All of us, without exception, we're headed toward eternity. I read where Arnold Schwarzenegger, who's a movie actor and was the governor of California, that they asked him about death and about, you know, what he thought about that, and he said, it makes me really angry. I can't talk like him, but he said, it makes me really angry that we spend all of our life and developing things and working and saving and developing a career and
and accumulating things, and then we just are gone and we die. He said, it makes me angry. What a terrible concept. But for the believer, we don't look at it that way. We understand that eternity has been put in our heart, that we have an understanding that we are eternal beings. And I believe even those that are in the world today who will say, well, I just believe when you die, you just go back to dust and it's over with. I believe that God is putting in the heart of every person in this world an understanding. He has put eternity in their heart, and they understand that truly there is a life beyond this life, and that they need to make preparation for that life. Amen. 79% of people in America believe that the soul lives forever. 71% believes that there's a hell. But listen to this. 1%, a little less than 1%, expect that they will go to a place called hell. They don't. They believe that everybody that dies is going to go to heaven. God has put eternity in our hearts so that we'll make preparation for eternity. Solomon is getting back to the beginning, back to what he used to believe in. He has expended all of his life, his fortunes, and his energy on the things of this world. And now he's coming to the realization it's all emptiness. It's all vanity. It's all hopelessness. That if God is not in your life, in the center of your life, then your life doesn't have any meaning. But God has put eternity in all of our hearts. Amen. And that means we believe. We know that when we take our last breath in this world, that we're going to step into eternity. And for those that are born again, those that know Jesus as their Savior, you are going to be immediately in the presence of the Lord. You're going to be in that wonderful, glorious, prepared place, and you're going to be there for all of eternity. Praise God. Glory to God. We need to live our life in the center of His will. Put your life in His hands. Put your life in His hands and trust Him with your life and with your future. Let's pray. Father, thank you, Lord, for the truths of your word. And Lord, I know that you can awaken us here today. Forgive us, Lord, because we live for the temporal things. We live for the carnal, for the things of this world, instead of investing our lives in the souls of mankind, the word of the Lord, and things that are eternal of value. Lord, forgive us. Help us, Lord, to regain a right perspective, Lord, just like Solomon did, as he comes back to an understanding and is reminded of the truths of what it is to know God and to walk with God. Lord, I pray for everyone in this building today, and maybe some who have not made preparation for eternity, for their life after this life. Oh, God. Lord, speak to their hearts. Speak to each person in this building here today. Help us to be willing to put our lives in your hands. That's really all that matters. Lord, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand with me this morning?